Darling, you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. Decisions bugging me.
Decision they molest
me. If you don't want me, set me free.
Set me free.
Exactly whom I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now?
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Gays and Jews were all disgusted by the
GOP response is lame. They say hate's bad and it's a shame. But do they call Trump out by name? They're simply jerking off. Hello, there are no both sides here. The swastikas should make it clear. But though Trump tries in vain to confirm it, it's not okay just because they had a permit. Now the alt-right's feeling proud to say they hate Jews right out loud, then driving cars into a crowd. Who knows how far they'll go? But how hard is it anyway to say that Nazis aren't okay? Trump's pro-Confederacy crap today lowered a bar that's already grossly low. There's no such thing as both sides, schmuck, defending racists, what the f***? Though at this travesty we curse, it won't be long till Trump does something even worse.
Lauren Mayer, yes. She's back. Lauren's comedy. You find her on Twitter. I'll post the video to that song on my blog after the show at NicoleSandler.com today. Lauren Mayer has been, she does a parody song a week, except she's been sidelined with pneumonia. She was in the hospital for a while, and that's her first one back. She said there's just so much. She's still recovering, but it's hard to keep quiet. Know both sides now from Lauren Mayer. I give her all the credit in the world because I find it really hard to find humor in what's going on right now. You know, we're still reeling from what happened in Charlotte last weekend. And this weekend, cities all over the country are bracing for something similar. In fact, Boston is one of them. Here's a TV report from a Boston TV station about what's going on there.
This is where that free speech rally will take place on Boston Common. There will also be counter protesters here. Barricades will be in place because tensions are running high.
We let both groups know if there's any violence, any misbehavior, we won't tolerate it.
Today, the organizers of Saturday's free speech rally on Boston Common and those who will counter-protest met with the police department.
Boston is too united. We have a city that doesn't tolerate hatred and bigotry, and we wanted to make that clear.
Here on the Common, the two sides will be kept apart with barricades. Police will be searching backpacks, and signs attached to sticks won't be allowed. The fear is these could be used as weapons.
Today, the city granted this permit for the free speech rally. Mayor Marty Walsh says he's disappointed the organizers wouldn't postpone the rally because tensions are high following last week's violence at a white nationalist rally in Virginia.
And I'm asking people, when you come into Boston, respect this city because we respect your right to come in and speak. So if we're going to respect your right to come in, we expect you to respect our city.
When we say it's a free speech rally, we mean that is a rally about the topic of free speech.
Sure. Free speech organizer John Medlar is adamant. The planned rally for Saturday on Boston Common will be a gathering to discuss politics and not spread hate.
If white supremacists are coming, they're going to have to assemble separately from us because we're not going to let them in.
But the Anti-Defamation League says in a blog post, the rally has been organized under the auspices of the alt-right, which is a loosely connected movement whose adherents generally shun white supremacist thinking, but who are in step with the alt-right in their hatred of feminists and immigrants, among others.
Free speech organizers expect about 1,000 people here. Counter-protesters expect about 6,000.
Wow.
No doubt this will be a big event. We're live for Boston Common tonight. I'm Alex DeBrew.
So they're going to be outnumbered 6-1. And despite what the organizers are telling you, we know who they are. They're the same people who showed up in Charlottesville. By the way, I do know about today's breaking news. Steve Bannon is out at the White House. Some people say they saw it coming. Others said you never know with this president. Controlled or uncontrolled chaos is what you get there. More on that, I'm sure, as the afternoon progresses. But I do want to focus in on these rallies. And Steve Bannon is a chief purveyor of this And again, I don't use the term alt-right. I believe it's a euphemism for white supremacist, Nazi, Ku Klux Klan, all of those rolled into one. And those are the three main components. And there are little offshoot groups that make up this movement that are going on college campuses to recruit young people. They want young men and women. It's scary times. So Boston is planning for a big event, a free speech rally, they're calling it. Boy, talk about a euphemism, right? Then on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, Donald Trump is still planning to have one of his campaign rallies in Phoenix. And the word is, and I was going to say rumor, but it's not such a rumor. The word is that he's going to pardon former Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was found guilty of racial profiling, going against the civil rights of people who he just arresting people he just suspected for no good reason, just thought might be there illegally. Rachel Maddow had the mayor of Phoenix on her show explaining what's going on Tuesday last night.
The president has just announced he wants to do a campaign style rally next week in Phoenix, Arizona. The mayor of Phoenix is asking the president to not do it. And he's raising the question of why the president wants to do it in the first place. The mayor says, quote, our nation is still healing from the tragic events in Charlottesville. If President Trump is coming to Phoenix to announce a pardon for recently convicted former sheriff Joe Arpaio, then it will be clear that his true intent is to inflame emotions and further divide our nation. Joining us now is Greg Stanton. He's the mayor of Phoenix, Arizona. Mayor Stanton, I really appreciate your time tonight, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Rachel.
Let me just ask first if the White House has responded at all to your request that the president should cancel this event.
What do you think?
Well, they've not responded directly to me, but Shocker. All indications are the campaign-style rally in Phoenix will occur on Tuesday night. And as I said in my statement, it's very, very unfortunate. It's ill-timed after the tragic events in Charlottesville and the very disappointing response of our president to unequivocally condemn racism, unequivocally condemn white supremacy, to have this campaign-style rally, and then obviously to openly discuss the possibility of pardoning Sheriff Joe Arpaio. The timing could not be worse.
Do you think there's a connection between the events of Charlottesville, between the president's recent bellicose statements on race, and his choice specifically of Phoenix? Do you think race is part of the reason why he's coming to your city and why he's coming to Arizona?
Well, I think the reaction of the President Trump to the tragic events in Charlottesville, where racists and Nazis and white nationalists, one of them engaged in murder of a young lady, his unwillingness to unequivocally condemn white supremacy in the United States of America was shocking to us, so disappointing to so many of us. And his willingness to consider a pardon of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who systematically violated the civil rights of so many Latinos residents in our community for so long, made them live in terror. I do believe there's an unfortunate connection there. And so I think the timing of the rally is really, really bad. And even considering a pardon for this sheriff who terrorized our residents is a really bad thing as well. Put it together, it's a bad, bad combination.
Are you worried about violence or major protests if the president does show up?
Yes, I am. And I know that people from around the country, because he's announced this and put it on his social media, that he'll be doing this campaign style rally openly, teasing that he might be pardoning Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the criminally convicted Sheriff Joe Arpaio, that he might be pardoning him. People have put it together, and I think this might be happening at this event. So, yes, we're expecting many, many people from around the country to attend. And I am concerned about what the purpose of doing this to inflame passions. I'm concerned about what might happen as a result.
I'm concerned about it, too. Wouldn't you be? So here's the deal. My husband's son, my stepson, lives in Phoenix. And he called last night to say, I'm torn. I don't know what to do. I feel like I have to go out there and counter protest what's happening. But frankly, it's frightening. There are two minds to this, right? Zach Roberts, the photojournalist who was on with us yesterday, who caught some of the violence on camera in Charlottesville, he put out a challenge yesterday right here on this show.
I'm calling on all the pussy hat wearing women's marchers to show up when they come to your town. Or if they're not coming to your town, I want you to get in your Subaru and I want you to drive. No, I love Subarus, so I'm not insulting Subaru owners. Good for you. I had a Subaru that saved my life once. But I want you to get in your Subaru, your SUV, whatever, and drive to the next Charlottesville, which actually may be Charlottesville, actually, next week. And that may light up again. And show up and confront fascism. Because when Donald Trump goes on the next time this happens and says, oh, there are bad people on both sides, I want him to be talking about middle-aged white women, with kids.
Middle-aged white women with kids. And he went on to say, some of the people that voted for him. Then, I don't know if you saw last night, they did one of the Saturday Night Live weekend updates on a Thursday in the summer. And Tina Fey was a special guest, and she was very funny. And she ended her bit like this.
I really want to say, to encourage all good, sane Americans to treat these rallies this weekend like the opening of a thoughtful movie with two female leads. Don't show up. Let these morons scream into the empty air.
Let these morons scream into the empty air. If only they would. But if we could ignore them, maybe that would be the perfect scenario. Now, last Friday, I spoke with one of our listeners. He goes by the unfortunate name in the chat room of Osama Number 5, who lives in Charlottesville. And before we hung up, I said to him, please stay safe, stay inside. That was what automatically came out of me. And over the weekend, I thought about it and wondered what I would do if I were in that situation. Well, our pal, I think, is back with us. Osama, you there?
Hey, Nicole.
Hey there.
You can call me Shalel.
Okay, I'll call you Shalel. I feel better calling you Shalel.
Okay. That was just a reactionary thing to 9/11.
I understand.
And it kind of stuck.
And they're chat room names. I get it. So anyway, Shalel, so what did you wind up doing on Saturday? Did you go out there? Were you in the midst of all the insanity that was going on?
I have not been downtown Charlottesville since then or now. I mean, I saw a lot of the coverage. I recognized a lot of the faces from previous activism. But in our case, it was so poorly managed, and the police were, I don't know what, but that 4th Street crossing where Heather died,
yes,
was supposed to be closed. And it's closed, indeed, every week for concerts because it's a pedestrian area, and cars must yield. Now, this guy... There were no protesters as he came across the pedestrian mall. Nobody was hitting him with clubs. They were hitting him with clubs as he was trying to get away.
Right, when he was backing up.
At high speed.
Right.
Across a pedestrian mall.
Right.
So, the whole right rationalization of him being scared, no.
Yeah,
that was aggression.
Of course.
That was hate. That was murder. And it was terrorism. And I urge people to make their own decisions and do research before you go out there. Know who the involved parties are. Know who's benefiting, like the military-industrial complex and the media, from all of this hubbub. I mean,
I'm glad the media is out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't see what's going on. That's on the one hand.
Right.
On the other hand, if we gave them no attention, if nobody paid any attention, like Tina Fey said, they'd be yelling at one another. That's not realistic in this day and age. But you, Shalel, you made an informed decision to steer clear because you knew it was going to get ugly and dangerous. And after all, Heather Heyer lost her life. Other people got seriously hurt. We heard about DeAndre Harris. We saw the pictures of him yesterday. It's a really tough call. And so
So I don't think anyone on quote our side should be egging people on to show up. I mean, hold the space away from where the crazies are, where the Nazis are. Don't. It takes two to tango.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
To quote Rumi, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself. I have white privilege. You have white privilege.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is something that happens. And if we, you know, if we look around the world, I mean, the fact that we get hot showers every day and have air conditioning, you know, 90% of the world is not in that position. And this is hiding the true state of the planet that is literally burning. Greenland is on fire. I mean, we need to focus on habitat for our species, or that's it. There's not going to be any protesting because there'll be no one to protest because there's not going to be any air left.
I hear you. Well, I'm glad you stayed in. I can't say what I would do if they came marching through my town. If I would go out there feeling a sense of responsibility to stand up to them, and I don't think staying home is cowering in the corner. It's just not giving them the air that we need to protect so badly. The air that we need to breathe.
Yeah, well,
right?
I was kind of cowering.
Were you?
I think I was cowering, you know.
I might
I would have been
too.
Out there had it not been for the fear of being beaten and gassed by either the protesters on the other side, the protesters on my side, or the police.
Right.
They're all armed to the hilt. I don't have a gun. I don't like guns. I mean, I'm fine with people having guns, but when you take them out and you wave them in people's faces, that is not protected anywhere in the Constitution. And having a gun, you
although
know,
they'd
I mean,
say
what
it
is that going to do?
They would say it is. And they were armed to the hilt. And at first, the Charlottesville Police Department was saying something about that they were outgunned. That's been debunked. They weren't. But apparently, they really didn't do a whole lot to protect the innocent people who were there to peacefully counter-protest these Nazis and white supremacists and Klan members.
That's true. But, you know, I mean, I don't think they wanted to get into a shooting war.
No. But, well, and thank goodness there weren't shots fired, as far as I know. But there was a lot of firepower
right.
out there, a lot of firepower on display, both from, you know, the people holding the signs and the you know, shields and wearing the helmets, and those who were dressed like militia men.
Right, which is, you know, I mean, if they're in body armor, I mean, they look just like the police or military.
They did,
but,
and they weren't. And...
But people should know that they're not.
Okay.
They have no authority.
No, they don't. Hey, Shalal, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you decided to stay home,
all
and
right.
I'm glad you stayed safe.
You know, it's a one-on-one. You know, a decision that I make based on, you know, the circumstance. So I can't say I'll make the same decision again. It may come time for me to get out there with my friends and scream bloody murder, but I'm not going to get violent. Violence never solves anything.
No, you're right. There's no winners there. Shalal, thank you for the call. I got to run
thank
along.
Thank you again.
Take care. Bye bye. My husband David just walked in the room.
First of all, I spoke to Max today, not last night.
Okay.
But in regard to you don't know if you would go to a rally, I would Velcro you to the wall before I would allow you to go because I know you, and you could not hold back. You would be screaming at those motherfucking pieces of shit and probably either get yourself killed, get me killed trying to hold you back, or kill somebody in the process.
That's probably a good point. All right. Thank you. Who's this calling from the 813 area code?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
I just want to make two quick points.
Mm-hmm.
One being is, since when has a KKK rally not had protesters at it? That's a given. And secondly, in Ferguson, the police were in full military garb
yep.
with all the high-tech equipment to fight a war for peaceful protests there. Yet, I'm waiting to see if that's going to happen at any of these white nationalist rallies.
That's a really good point.
I would like to know why that's not the case. Is it, you know, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, me being a white man here, seeing the injustice here, that they're white supremacists, they're crazy, they'll shoot you, so therefore policemen should endanger themselves by putting themselves out there. But when it's a black community, oh, we'll be out there, we'll beat them.
Right.
And then people want to say, well, black lives don't matter. It's just a farce. That's all I want to share with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call. I think I know the answer. I appreciate what Tina Fey said. It's a pipe dream, though. It would be nice if we could just leave them to their own devices and they could yell and scream at one another and burn each other out and have their own little inner war. But inaction is dangerous too. Thank goodness there are people who are more courageous than I am. And I get what David said. I have a big mouth and I tend to open it oftentimes at the wrong time, and would probably wind up not in a good position. But he would probably have to Velcro me down or worse, because to stand by while that's going on, it's got to be really, really hard. I just hope everybody stays really safe this weekend, especially no offense to Zach Roberts, who was on with us last night. Moms with little kids. You know, the question is, how do you talk to your children about stuff like this? We're going to get into that arena on the other side. We'll take a break. We'll get what's news and come back. I'm Nicole Sandler at on the Progressive Voices Network.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
At least 14 people are dead and more than 100 injured after a van rammed into pedestrians on a popular tourist street, Las Ramblas, in Barcelona Thursday afternoon. Police say they broke up a related second attack in the nearby seaside resort of Cambrils several hours later, fatally shooting five men who were hitting pedestrians. Las Ramblas reopened Friday morning in a show of defiance. Following the Barcelona attack and before all the facts were known, Trump tweeted condemning the violence and calling it a terror attack. He then sent out another tweet reviving a debunked legend about General Pershing stopping Muslim rebels. Fox News' Shepard Smith explains.
Authorities are still working this as a crime scene and treating this as a terrorist attack. The president has tweeted on this again. Study what General Pershing of the United States did to terrorists when caught. There was no more radical Islamic terror for 35 years. Well, that's what the president's tweeted, which, you know, helpful? I don't know. U.S. General John J. Pershing did not effectively discourage Muslim terrorists in the Philippines by killing them and burying their bodies along with those of pigs. Quoting now, they let the 50th man go, and for the next 42 years, there was not a single Muslim extremist attack anywhere in the world. Of course, the problem with this is it isn't true. So the president has said, watch what General Pershing did to try to discourage Muslim terrorists, and the premise on which he's speaking is false by Snopes. It's just not what happened. But there's the presidential input for the day.
Here at home, more prominent Republicans are openly questioning Donald Trump's competency and moral leadership as the president digs deeper into the racially charged debate over Confederate memorials. Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, a Trump supporter who was reportedly being considered for Secretary of State, delivered a harsh condemnation.
The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful. And we need for him to be successful. Our nation needs for him to be successful. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. We need for our president, the world needs our president to be successful.
Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, the only African-American Republican in the U.S. Senate, told Vice News that Trump's moral authority is compromised.
What we want to see from our president is clarity and moral authority, and that moral authority is compromised when Tuesday happens. There's no question about that. We should all call that on the carpet. I certainly have.
So does the president have moral authority now?
I think he has it. He's losing a part of it.
He has it? You think so?
Absolutely. We elected him as president, so there's no question that we gave him moral authority. The problem is that in this situation of the last 3 or 4 days, what we've seen is that moral authority being compromised by the lack of clarity, by what we have seen as the pivot backwards.
Trump is obviously seeking to shift the focus of the news coverage from the subject of white supremacists, Nazis, and the KKK to the future of the Confederate statues.
President Trump is having a historically bad week, which he kept going strong with a string of combative tweets this morning. He attacked Republican senators Lindsey Graham and Jeff Flake. He bragged about all the jobs he claims he created. And once again, took the wrong side on Charlottesville. He wrote, "Sad to see the history and culture of our great country being ripped apart with the removal of our beautiful statues and monuments. You can't change history, but you can learn from it. Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson. Who's next? Washington, Jefferson, so foolish. Also, the beauty that is being taken out of our cities, towns, and parks will be greatly missed and never able to be comparably replaced." And I have to admit, I do have to say, he makes one good point. If we're going to start taking down every monument that pays tribute to racists, we should probably take down every building with the name Trump on it, you know?
Senator Cory Booker plans legislation that would remove the Capitol statues celebrating supporters of the slave era. In a statement, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said, "If Republicans are serious about rejecting white supremacy, I call upon Speaker Ryan to join Democrats to remove the Confederate statues from the Capitol immediately." Although it's difficult to find humor in this situation, SNL's Weekend Update did on Thursday night when University of Virginia graduate Tina Fey showed she copes by stress-eating sheet cake.
Where's Paul Ryan in all this, right? You're supposed to be like the cool young congressman, but you don't know how to at somebody on Twitter? Oh. Racism is bad. At real Donald Trump, you pussy. And then Donnie Johnny says we need to defend our country's beautiful Confederate monuments when you know he would take them down in a second if he thought he could build a bunch of poorly constructed condos on the spot. Google Trump Bonwit Teller, okay? And then your family says, "Oh, you mom, you need to calm down." And then you start to feel powerless. And that is when you need to dip a grilled cheese into the cake.
And are you going to stay till like the whole cake is gone, or?
In conclusion, I really want to say, to encourage all good, sane Americans to treat these rallies this weekend like the opening of a thoughtful movie with two female leads. Don't show up. Let these morons scream into the empty air. I got
good. And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener supported, and we can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
So, living through the age of Trump is difficult enough. Raising a child in these times is even more unbearable. That's why when I was pitched on this book, How Do I Explain This to My Kids, Parenting in the Age of Trump, I wanted to talk with the author. So let's try to get her on the line. Dr. Ava Siegler, she actually did the introduction and commentary at the end. It's a collection of stories by a lot of writers.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Siegler.
Yes?
It's Nicole Sandler calling from the Nicole Sandler Show. How are you doing today?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. We are live on the air. I was just saying to the listeners that being an adult in this time in American history is difficult enough. Raising a child and having to explain to them what's going on is really difficult when we don't necessarily understand it ourselves. So your book comes at a really good time. And actually, I booked you on the show before the events of this past week. Now it's even that much more complicated, but these are a lot of things that you address in the book, How Do I Explain This to My Kids? So,
yes, I do.
When did you decide to put this collection together?
Well, I decided to put it together immediately after President Trump was elected. At that point in time, I began to feel that we were in for a natural disaster. And I thought that parents were our first responders and that I needed to help parents to understand that we had a lethal combination here, a man with a deeply disturbed personality and character, and deeply destructive policies. And I thought that parents needed to be alerted. And of course, the essays that are in the book, written by parents of all kinds, are very anguished about Trump's ascendancy to the presidency. And I was hoping to help them all to be able to withstand what we were going to have to deal with.
Right. I'll tell you, reading some of these stories in here, it brought back the anguish of that night. As they're, you know, watching with their young children the returns, and as the night goes on, and it becomes more and more apparent that he could actually win, and then that he was going to win.
Yes.
I felt that pit in my stomach grow. I'm the mother of a who at the time she was 17 years old. She's now 18, and mm-hmm. you know, depending on the age of the child, there are different challenges from the very youngest. 3 and 4 year olds who are just beginning to sort of take stock in the world around them, up until teenagers and young adults and adults. I mean, I don't know how to talk to myself about this. That's the problem. I know.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I think, you know, that it's very important to think developmentally, because with children under 5 years old, I think your role as a parent is to be as protective of them as possible. You don't want 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds watching the news and seeing the horrors that we are having to absorb now, or listening to the voice of President Trump, who, by the way, speaks in words that even a 3-year-old can understand, because he has a very primitive language. We don't want that filtering down into their hearts and minds. So, for very young children, I think you want to protect them as much as you can and offer realistic reassurance. If they tell you, "Well, President Trump hurt me, Mommy," you know, you have to say, "No, sweetheart, he won't. I'm going to keep you safe. We're all going to keep you safe. We don't like the way he is acting, but we're fighting hard, you know, to make sure that everyone is safe." Now, of course, if you're the child of a Mexican man who's not here legally, this becomes much more problematic, because, you know, the empowerment of these ICE officers, you know, fathers and mothers are being pulled off the streets while their children watch.
That's right.
So it's a much more serious matter there. And for those families, I would suggest that they immediately make a safety plan for their kids, so that they know they're going to be staying with, you know, Aunt Miranda or Uncle Juan or, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, you know, that even if Dad has to be sent back to Mexico, he will call us, we will see him, we will arrange to be together. You know, this president, we hope, is only going to be here for roughly 3 more years. A lot of these things could change in the future. Elementary school children, I think the most important thing is to increase their knowledge. You know, when I was a kid, we were taught civics and government and history. A lot of kids these days don't really know about the government. They don't understand how a democracy works. They don't understand the Electoral College. I mean, none of us understand the Electoral College.
No, not anymore.
But we've got to explain to them that, you know, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by millions and millions of votes. But we have this old system, you know, that entitles southern states and gives them the same power, rural areas, the same power as the cities. We've got to explain that to them, and to increase their knowledge, and to give them an opportunity to talk about their anxieties and fears. You know, I think parents need to alert children, but not alarm them. Now, for your daughter, she's going to change the world with her vote in the next election. So it's very important for teenagers to understand that they are going to be enormously powerful. Our children are our soldiers in this culture war, and we have to embed the value that we care about in them so that they can carry them through into the next generation.
But we also have the issue of, you know, there's so much else going on. I would love to be able to say your vote is going to change the world. And she knows, I'm her mother. She knows how important it is that she vote in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
But we also see, you know, the president's voter fraud commission, which is caging voters, which is pulling voters off the voting rolls, which is doing everything they can to keep people from voting. We also see how, you know, I guess I'm a little too cynical for my own good. And it's hard to present an air of optimism that she can change the world when all around us things are just so frightening and there's no fairness. The world just isn't fair.
No, and there's increasing violence, as we see in Barcelona and all over the world. Nice, there's increasing violence that our children are going to have to deal with. You know,
that's a whole
absolutely
other story, right?
Unexpected, you know, violence. But I think it is a parent's job to still hold out hope for the future. I mean, I agree with you. We all feel exhausted and depleted and a little depressed by, you know, the destruction that Trump has wrought in, what is it, 6-7 months of his presidency?
That's all it's been.
I know. It feels like 6 years, doesn't it?
It does. Every week is an eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, there's been an unintended consequence. I don't know about you, but I have never written a political book before. I have never been as deeply involved in politics as I am now. And I think it's true of our children, too. You know, people are, you know, as the kids say, woke. You know, I mean, this is happening in our country, and we have to find a way to resist and persist and stop it. He is not a king. He is not a tyrant. And even though there's a lot of cowardice in the Republican Party, I do believe that people are going to work hard to defeat him. They've already defeated him. The Muslim ban was defeated in the immigration, partially is better than nothing.
That's true.
You know, the Congress passed a law that, you know, he can't, they're trying to pass a law that they can't get rid of Mueller.
Right.
They passed a law that he can't take away the Russian
investigation.
You know, that the Russian investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things are happening, and I think that we have never been as a nation as aware of our politics as we are at this point in time.
Something. No, that's a very good point. We're talking with Dr. Ava Siegler. She wrote the introduction and a whole second section to this book, How to Explain This to Your Kids, or How Do I Explain This to My Kids, Parenting in the Age of Trump. The first part, as we mentioned, is a bunch of essays from all kinds of great writers. I'm a fan of Molly Kneffels, and she talks about teaching school. She teaches theater in a group of kids of all ages and from different backgrounds as well. You know, the school year is just starting. Kids are going back to school. And here's another problem. A lot of kids hear from their parents, you know, what their parents' views are. They'll know, you know, Trump is bad, is evil. He's a racist. He's a bigot. He's siding with the white supremacists, my God, and the Nazis. And then they go to school and kids mimic what they hear. This can be really dangerous for a kid going to school, because at school they're going to be presented with kids whose parents might be in some of those groups.
Well, absolutely, and with people who voted for Trump.
Of course.
And, you know, one of the mothers in the essay says, you know, that for the first time she is afraid of encouraging free speech in her children. You know, she lives in Florida, Trump-leaning area, and she says she has cautioned her children about keeping their mouths shut, you know, when other people talk about Trump. I mean, we have to protect our kids. You don't want to sacrifice your kid. You want them to hang out with like-minded kids. You want them, you know, to speak up, but not to escalate, aggression. You also want to talk with your school. I think parents in this time need to go to their schools in the fall and say, you know, what is your position about bullying? What is your position about racism? You know, what will happen if an incident happens in school? What are the protective arrangements to keep our kids safe? And I think you have to talk to your kids. Now, you know, teenagers are better prepared to debate, and still, you know, African-American parents, Muslim parents, have always had to have their kids have the talk, you mm-hmm. know, what to do if the police stop you, what to do if somebody says something to you. You know, you have the talk about how not to escalate violence. And unfortunately, it's spreading to the rest of us as well. One of the essayists in the book, Robin Kelly, says, you know, Trump is espousing is not new. You know, he is a symptom of an anti-democratic strain in our country that has gone on for decades. This is the remnant of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people who support the Confederacy are still fighting the Civil War.
Well, we're seeing that right now, loud and clear, playing out. We saw
yes.
it in Charlottesville, and it's going to happen, repeat, in a number of cities around the country this weekend. Not only,
yeah.
the, you know, and that's you're right. That is a discussion that African Americans have with their kids and have had to. And if nothing else, maybe this opened some of us with a little bit more white privilege up to what they're going through. As a
exactly.
Jewish woman, I never thought I'd be looking at Nazi flags walking down an American street. And hearing people carrying torches chanting "Jews will not replace us," this is hitting really close to home now, and we see what some others in our community have been going through their entire lives.
Exactly, but you know, it's not just Nazis. I mean, there have been neo-Nazis in the United States, you know, as I say, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that the president
yes.
of the United States can get on television and say to the country and to the world, some of those Nazis were fine people. That's really what he said.
He did.
He did not denounce them. That he can make a moral equivalency between the Nazis and the people who were protesting them. That has been horrifying. And the rise in anti-Semitism, you know, the rise in Islamophobia, the rise in racism in our country since Trump became president is astounding.
The number of hate groups has risen, and now they're feeling more emboldened. You know, it used to be the Klan
yeah.
would wear hoods. Now, as we learn, they're wearing khakis and polo shirts. They've taken the hoods off.
And Make America Great caps.
That's right.
Again. red Trump caps.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, we all know that there is a, you know, Hillary Clinton was right. There is a small group of deplorable people, you know, who have these hateful, no baby is born a baby. You have to learn this, you know, and there is a small group of people in our country who have held on to these ideas for a very long time, but we have never had a president who gave credence to them.
So how do you teach your children? It used to be the president was, you know, the president was
yes.
Somebody that we criticized. Look, I grew up, I was a kid in the 70s. I remember my parents cursing about Richard Nixon. And I knew he was
mm-hmm.
a crook, but I didn't think he was out to get me. I didn't think he was going to bring
mm-hmm.
down the nation. I didn't think he was going to rain nuclear war upon us. I didn't think,
yes.
Well, I knew he lied, but he didn't lie the way every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, he's lying. How do you
no,
teach a young
no.
child to be honest when the president, every time he opens his mouth, is lying?
Yes. Well, the first thing is you have to completely isolate the man from the presidency, the man from the office. We can respect the office of the presidency, but the man in it has to earn our respect. And Donald Trump has not earned our respect. Those of us who are touched and moved and troubled by these things do not have to stand up and defend him just because he's the president. It's not our president, right or wrong. So I think you have to say to children, we don't agree with President Trump. And the way you do that is you name what he's doing that you disagree with, you correct it, and then you put forth your own values. So let's take lying. You have to be able to say to your kids, President Trump has a real problem. He can't tell the truth. He lies. He lies compulsively. It's as if he can't stop himself from lying. But we feel the truth is important. Bullying.
Yes.
You know, Donald Trump is a bully. We don't agree with that position in life. It is not a good thing to make other people feel small so that you can make yourself feel big. And that's really what he does all the time, by the way. He attacks other people and tries to demean them so that he can feel big.
Right.
Lack of self-control. Look at President Trump. Look at the way he's yelling at those journalists. This is not the way a president should behave. This is not the way anyone should behave. So you have to monitor what your children are hearing and thinking and feeling, and you have to take the opportunity to criticize and correct every single thing he does when your children are exposed to it. Obviously, you don't want to make their lives a living misery by pointing out everything that goes on a daily basis.
Right. I think about the kids, like middle school kids who get assigned current events for a homework assignment. Oh, my goodness.
Poor kids.
And poor parents who have to deal with it and answer the questions. Can you imagine having to do that every day?
I know. But it's very important because we're training. We are raising our children to have good character. And Donald Trump is an example of a person with bad character. He was this way from the time he was a child.
Yeah.
You know, his parents couldn't control him. He was sent away to military school. You know, that's the threat we say to kids when they're really bad. You know, we're going to have to send you to military school to get some discipline. He was terrible as a real estate entrepreneur.
That's
he was
right.
a racist then.
Yep.
His relationships to women all throughout his life have been despicable, including his relationship to Melania. Have you ever seen him, you know, genuinely hug her, smile her,
no.
at her, take her hand?
We've seen her bat his hand away when he's tried to take her hand. Yeah. Doesn't look like a happy marriage there.
Absolutely. And this is his third marriage, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, you know, where are the members of the Christian right? Where are their values?
Well,
their family values.
None of them have disavowed what he's said. Franklin Graham, all of them have stood by him and said, you know, he's speaking the truth. This is what's so disconcerting. You have everyone afraid to speak up to him. Nobody has left his administration on their own accord. Steve Bannon is out today. Who knows if he left? He says he gave his resignation last week. But, you know, again, with this White House, you can't believe anything they tell you.
And it's good
that he's gone, but there's still, Sebastian Gorka, who's a Nazi, and there's still Stephen Miller, who's a white supremacist, still in that administration.
Right.
I feel maybe a little relief on some level that Steve Bannon is not there anymore.
Bannon is gone.
But
anti-Semitic Breitbart news, right?
And he's going back to Breitbart.
But I do feel that this is being exposed more and more and more to the American people. And I do feel that one third of the country that supports him, that of that one third, there are many people who must be regretful and remorseful at what they got. I don't think they bargained for this.
No.
I think there are people who voted for him because they thought he'd bring back their jobs, or he was a businessman and he would bring our economy up, you know, or he would, you know, I mean, they would do it for their own self-economic interest. I don't think they bargained for this.
No, because he lied to them every step of the way.
Absolutely.
And all those poor coal miners in Kentucky who were told they were going to get their coal mining jobs back, and all those people who believed him when he said, I'm going to get you better health care and cheaper and, you know, pre-existing conditions will be covered. All these people have been bamboozled because the man is a pathological liar.
He's a liar. Yeah, but he hasn't gotten it through. Let's not forget that.
Right.
He has not gotten anything done. And sooner or later, that is going to be, it's going to increasingly isolate him.
Right.
He's isolated now.
Yes, and more, it seems, each day. There are some who predict, you know, he will resign. Again, if only we had a crystal ball that really worked.
Yes.
But
it fits with his personality because he doesn't like to lose.
Right.
So it fits with his personality that he would take charge and quit. You know,
right.
I don't need this.
Right.
Who needs this?
I'm not enjoying this. I won. I did it. Yeah. You're obstructionists. And now I've done all, you know, I've done it all. And now you can have it back or something like that.
I also truly believe that Robert Mueller is going to find a lot of evidence of corruption and money laundering and Russian crimes. I believe that his company has been deeply involved in corruption. And that also may drive him from the presidency. Before that happens, he may quit.
Right. Well, let's hope. And he'll pardon himself.
So he can pardon himself, but we won't have him as president. Not that we're all going to be so happy with Pence. But at least, you know, we won't have this kind of extraordinarily destructive personality and power.
No kidding. Dr. Siegler, in a couple of minutes we have left, what advice do you have? Again, I sort of opened on this note. The book is How Do I Explain This to My Kids? Parenting in the Age of Trump. How do adults who are being stressed out by this comfort themselves? I know a lot of people, myself included, are having a really, really hard time with it. So what advice do you have for us to get through these very difficult years?
I think the most important thing we can contribute as adults is perspective. We have perspective. We have seen bad times before. People who are alive have lived the Holocaust. People have lived through McCarthyism. People have lived through the civil rights movement and the lynchings and the spitting on the little black girl in a white dress going into school. We have seen terrible times, terrible wars, and we have survived. And I believe that with historical perspective, we will understand that this will be a dark time in American history, but we will all survive.
I guess that's a good note to end on. Dr. Ava Siegler, again, the book is How Do I Explain This to My Kids? Parenting in the Age of Trump. There are a lot of really wonderful stories in here. Again, if you can get through the heartache of going through election night each time you read one. And then some good advice that you give for, you know, African-American families, for Muslim families, for Jewish families, for, you know, dealing with the fears. There's a lot of good information here. So thank you for writing this book. I think it's really important.
I hope so. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Resist and persist.
You got it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, she was supposed to be on with us a couple of weeks ago. Actually, she sounds like an older woman. And her husband, at the last minute, it was that afternoon, I got a phone call from the book publicist saying, oh, she can't be on the show this afternoon. Her husband broke his ankle. And actually, she was calling now, still from the hospital. They're still in the hospital. So I appreciate that. Look, this is a rough time for all of us. I can't imagine. I have a hard enough time she's a young woman now, trying to explain to her what's going on. And my daughter argues about everything. I would have to explain to her why, if they come to Fort Lauderdale or Coral Springs, why we're not going to go out and confront them. She wants to confront everyone. You think I have a big mouth? You haven't met my kid yet. If you do go out to one of these rallies, please be safe. You know, be peaceful. Don't confront them. And take care of yourself, because that's more important than having it out with some addle-brained neo-Nazi white supremacist Klan member. All right. Have a wonderful weekend if you possibly can. I always say, if I could, I'd take a break from the news. So you take a break from the news. Do something that you enjoy. All right. And with that, I'll see you next week. Tuesday, we're back with Gotta Laugh. And we've got a full slate of shows next week. I think Driftglass is going to be back with us. Oh, and we'll check in across the pond with our pal Dennis Campbell in the UK, too, and see what the rest of the world's thinking about us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks again. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for listening.
So many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just one second you'd be back to bother me. Break me with desire. Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Of my broken heart, and I've spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high, and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid.
stupid little person still in love with you. And so you thought you'd just drop by and you expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door, just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive.